Hey everyone, this is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Well, my friends, I just want to thank you so much for being here with me today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for subscribing. It is my honor, it is my privilege to be here with you. And here we are sitting in the month of June. Word is getting around about the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for commenting. And I just recently had the pleasure of being interviewed by Stephen Wessler of the Onward Nation podcast. And I'd like to share with you today that interview. As a matter of fact, it describes the hardest years of my life, you guys. In this podcast, he pulls out of me my why. He pulls out of me lessons that I've never shared in this podcast. And so you're about to discover in just a moment, number one, why I'm serving doctors. You're going to learn about my habits. You're going to learn about two events that nearly crushed me. Two events where I nearly stopped and could have just faded off into the sunset. And I share with you what's gotten through, how I've made it through this incredibly, incredibly difficult time period. With no further ado, here is this podcast with Stephen Wessler. You're going to love it.
This is Onward Nation, episode 224.
Get ready to find your recipe for success from America's top business owners here at Onward Nation with your host, Stephen Wessler.
Good morning, Onward Nation. I'm Stephen Wessler, and we all know that building and scaling a business is hard work. But when you have the right strategy, the right recipe for success to follow, the action steps become more like ingredients and can be added systematically into your business, one ingredient at a time. And that's why I am so excited to introduce our guest today, Dave Denniston. Dave is an accomplished author and podcaster. He's written 6 books on finances for small business owners and doctors. He hosts his own podcast named after his latest book, The Freedom Formula for Physicians. Dave has been interviewed by CNN, Kiplinger's, Business Week, and Physician Financial Success Podcast. He also contributes articles to Physicians Monthly or Money Digest, Physicians Practice, Minnesota Medicine, Young Ophthalmologists, and AAOS. He's been featured in speaking events with the Minnesota Medical Association at the University of Minnesota and the Mayo Clinic, as well as the AAO, which is the Academy or American Academy for Ophthalmologists National Conference. Welcome to Onward Nation, Dave.
Stephen, you made it through all those long words. Congratulations, my friend.
My word. So clearly, I am not cut out for your industry because I cannot handle acronyms and long terms, my friend. But thank you for your patience. But Dave, it is a joy. It is an honor to have you here. But obviously, I've only given Onward Nation pretty brief glimpse into your background and experience. And I know that you have this amazingly awesome story. So tell us more about you and your experience, and then we'll jump in with the questions.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. Let me just say it's my honor, my privilege to be here with you, to be here with Onward Nation. And so let me say thank you so much for having me. I've written all these different books, originally from Southern California, went to school in Seattle, started my career out there, then 8 years ago made an acquisition that brought me out to Minnesota. And 4 years after that, in 2012, it was actually nearly exactly 4 years ago. It was May 13th, 2012, Mother's Day. And my wife, she was having this horrible, difficult pregnancy. As a matter of fact, she was having pounding headaches and blurred vision and this searing pain throughout her body. As a matter of fact, before that day, she had been in and out of the hospital for about the last 2 weeks. And at that time, our youngest daughter, she was in the womb. She was 23 weeks in gestation, so barely halfway through the pregnancy process. And if you can imagine, her due date was September 9th, 2012. Unfortunately, my wife had early onset toxemia and preeclampsia. And I remember sitting there with my wife. She was gripping my hand, and this fellow physician, neonatologist, was telling us she needs to come out. And me being the numbers geek that I am, I'm like, well, what are the chances of her making it? We had to make this literal life and death choice. And she was like, less than 40%.
Oh my gosh.
And so we were just devastated. You know, we were sitting there, tears coming down our faces. And we had to weigh this consequence, because we could keep her in the womb and keep going and hopefully let her develop, but the blood flow had started to slow in the womb. And we decided with a deep swallow and heavy hearts, you know, let's just go for this. Let's believe she's going to turn out okay, because we don't want her to die in the womb. And, you know, the hardest moment, Stephen, of this whole thing was my oldest daughter, who was going on 7 at the time. I had to sit down on a knee and explain the situation to her. And because we don't know what could happen with my wife. As a matter of fact, with the first pregnancy, my wife had toxemia as well. She went full term, but she was having horrible seizures for a couple weeks afterwards.
Oh my goodness.
And so I went into the OR with her and was there the whole time. I just remember pacing back and forth and just praying and believing that everything was going to be okay. And I was there as they took her out, this tiny little child, translucent skin. I mean, you could literally see her veins, because the skin wasn't developed yet. Her lungs weren't developed yet. She gives a tiny little squawk and the room goes silent. Mm. They rush her over to the other side of the operating room. They're trying to get this tiny, tiny, tiny tube down her tiny, tiny throat, and they were struggling with it. And I rushed over the opposite side of the operating room. They actually had to tell me to back up a little bit. I was taking a video camera of the whole thing so we could have the memory of whatever happened. And finally, after what seemed like hours, but was probably only a minute, they got the breathing tube down her throat. And from then on, she made it. Obviously, there was a lot of complications. There was a lot of ups and downs in this journey. We're in the neonatal intensive care unit here in Minnesota for nearly 5 months before she got to come home. So it actually went past her due date. But during that time, I really got to know a lot of physicians. But I really had this heart to want to give back to this community that literally gave me my family as it is today. So I can't thank enough of the doctors that are listening out there. You guys are making a big difference, and thank you for doing what you do.
Wow. Onward Nation. Okay. So what an amazing story of guts, of faith, of family love and devotion and dedication. Just really amazing insight into who you and your wife are as a family and as people. And then the silver lining of all of this, really, there's two big ones, is the fact that now you have your daughter, two great children, and now you have this amazing opportunity to serve doctors and be of value to them and to their practice and to their families too. Lord works in mysterious ways, my friend. And that was just really, really wonderful.
You know, I really believe for all of us as business owners, whether it's this challenge or another challenge, the goal is to turn tests into testimonies as much as possible.
Wow. I think you just gave me the title of this episode, my friend. Wow. That's really, really wise of you and immature of you to recognize it that way, because I think it's very, very easy for us to say, oh, for Pete's sake, why is this happening to me? Why me? And then get kind of caught up in sort of self-pity and doubt and in the many other kind of factors or things we could use to describe that. But instead, it takes a very mature person to say, okay, this is a test that I'm experiencing. How come? what can I learn from that? And then how can I make that testimony? That's pretty awesome, Dave.
Absolutely. Well, no doubt, Stephen. I mean, this whole time period, we had our doubts, right? We were struggling with making these literal life and death decisions. We had a struggle with whether or not to allow them to do some research and whether or not we should enroll her in some of these studies that may or may not help her. You struggle through these things, you make it together, and I think I'm so grateful for all of these wonderful people that we've had the opportunity to work with.
Wow. Okay, Onward Nation, we're going to dive in, and we're going to dive into this first section that, you know, I like to call focus and preparation. Preparation because it's so true that greatness is available to all of us if we're willing to do the common things uncommonly well, which is a powerful lesson I learned from one of my mentors, Don Yeager. So Dave, start us off with, if you want to call it a secret, maybe you'd prefer to call it a time-saving technique. Is there something you can share with us that helps you focus and prepare to tackle your most vital priorities each day?
Yeah, Stephen, that is a great question. And I love so many answers that I've heard your guests say and some of the things I do, whether it's color coding your calendar or doing some of these things. For me, I'll tell you, I think one of the secrets that I have is the ability to focus. And I'll tell you, I've worked in offices that are small. We'll have 6, 7, 8 of us in the office. And I find that when I have my door open, right, you get interruption after interruption after interruption. In my case, author, I get phone calls throughout the day from people that want to steal my time. And I find if I shut my door, just a simple act of shutting the door, people know not to interrupt me unless it's something really important. And that time I shut the door is when I can focus the best, turn off the phone, and get stuff done as I have in my color-coded calendar by the priorities that are important to me. So that for me, it sounds simple, but I'll tell you, it helps me so much with focus and getting stuff done.
Well, it is simple, but it can create big impact. It doesn't have to be something hard, Onward Nation, to create big impact. Like Scott McCain, our great guest in episode 1 and also episode 136, when he came back for an encore. In that encore, 136, Dave, he shared with Onward Nation, I believe this quote came from Zig Ziglar, that what is easy to do is also easy to not do.
Mm.
And so what you're talking about, sure, is it easy to shut your door? Yeah, of course. But it's also easy to leave it open and participate in all those side conversations, back and forth, kind of water cooler talk. And then before you know it, 90 minutes is gone.
Right. Absolutely. Totally. And I think it's one of these things you have to balance, especially in a small family office like we have, where you want to be open to people, but at the same time, you got to get stuff done. So it's balancing that where you want to be open and available at the same time. You have certain priorities you want to get done for the day.
That's perfect. So let's take that a little bit deeper, but this time let's think about it in the context of habits. So Dave, do you have a habit or two that you strongly believe contributes to your success?
Stephen, that's a great question. And can I just have your permission to be real about this for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to be honest, with everything that's gone on in my family, certainly we've struggled. And there's been times that I've been in a dark place, you know, just really depressed about what's going on. And we're tossed around on a daily basis. You know, it's really easy to look down at the phone, see an email, see how the market's doing and get pulled down. And to be honest, there was a part of my life where with everything happening, my marriage was on the rocks. And when you're getting thrown in this storm, I have been having the pleasure of reading a lot of self-development books over the last few years, like Think and Grow Rich and Cash in a Flash by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen, because it's so easy to drift to the negative. And so some of the daily habits that I picked up, to be honest with you, I get a little bored. I can't do the same thing every day. But here are some of the things that have been helping me get through these hard, difficult times. I have actually in front of me right now this journal that I journal in from time to time where I remember great positive moments in my life. So I write down stories of times I've had confidence or victory or enthusiasm or passion, remembering pleasant moments in my life. So that's one thing that I do. And I read through that. I add to that. Another thing that I do is I write myself an email once every week or two where I have this ongoing story of where I want my life to look like 20 years from now. And I write about what it smells like, what it tastes like, what I see, what I feel. So I'm creating this vision of where I want my life to be. And I get so excited when I read this vision because I can really picture myself being in that moment, being successful. And then a third thing that I do from time to time is I write down 10 things, and I actually email it to myself, of things that I am thankful for. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this client. I'm thankful for this moment. And all of these things are to put myself in a positive state when I'm surrounded often by a lot of negativity.
Wow. Okay. So what was awesome about that is, one, you mentioned a couple of great resources. Huge fan of Think and Grow Rich. In my opinion, one of the best books like ever written. Mm-hmm. And especially because you connected it to personal development, and that's awesome. But what I really, really love about that is just how you laid all of that out downstream from the books, and you put that into a process. I mean, like, you just gave Onward Nation a blueprint for this habit. And I think the cautionary tale that Dave started that off with, Onward Nation, is so perfect because it fits into drifting that Napoleon Hill talks about, that Michael Hyatt in his latest book, you know, talks about, this danger of drifting. So Dave, have you read Napoleon's, it sounds weird to say his latest book because it came out in 2012 and he passed away, you know, many years before that. But have you read Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill?
No, I'll have to add that to the list.
Oh, my word. Devil. Well, and so the only reason why I bring it up, Onward Nation, is because Dave mentioned the whole drifting part, and he really tackles drifting in that book. And so I learned about that book from John Lee Dumas when I was a guest of his on Entrepreneur on Fire. He asked me if I'd read it, and I'm like, no, tell me about it. And so this book, honest to goodness, so Think and Grow Rich, Onward Nation, was published in 1937. And then this book, Outwitting the Devil, Napoleon actually wrote the book in 1938, but when he shared it with people, people were like, okay, seriously, you cannot publish this. Like, it was so controversial. It was so mind shifting. It's actually like having a conversation. Napoleon says that he actually had a conversation with the devil on the steps at the Lincoln Memorial. No joke. That's the story that how it goes. Anyway, his family members said, okay, if you're going to publish this, you like need to put that into the foundation vault, like the Napoleon Hill Foundation vault. And you need to promise us you're not going to let anybody publish that until we're all dead. honest to goodness. Something? Yeah. His wife, his sister, brother-in-law, they said, you need to put like a timestamp on it, put it in a time capsule. There's no way that you can publish this book until we've all passed on. And so that's why they didn't publish it until 2012. And it is mind-blowing. You will love it.
I can't wait to check it out. Thank you so much, Stephen. That'll be fun.
You bet. Okay, so let's so you've started us off with two really great pieces. And what oftentimes happens here in these conversations, really great momentum begins at in the front part of the interview, which is just awesome. And now then I throw you this curveball that I want to talk about obstacles. So it seems like kind of an odd transition. But so I know that you have a great story here that you want to share. So tell us about that challenging time, that situation that could have devastated, maybe even ruined your business, but you persisted. You made the tough decisions. And now that one's painful memory serves more as a invaluable learning experience. So Dave, tell us that story.
Yeah, thank you so much, Stephen. Yeah, it's appreciate the ability to share this story because I know it's something you can relate to. I remember hearing from one of your other podcasts, I don't remember which episode, of you talked about your IPO. You were 27, 28 years old, right?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep.
And for me, I had a very similar moment in my life where I was in Seattle, Washington. I was working for another gentleman. I had been blessed with receiving an inheritance from my great aunt. And I said, you know what? I'm young. I'm not happy with where I'm currently at. I want to own my destiny. I see all these successful people that are business owners. I want to be like them. But I didn't want to build everything from scratch. And so I was looking through this website that we have here in our industry called FP Transitions. And I was looking at opportunities all across the country to make an acquisition. So I wanted a little different because I've heard of stories like yours where you start out from scratch and things don't go well. So I said, let me buy something with existing cash flow. And so I made an acquisition that was literally $1 million purchase at the tender age of, 27 years old. And I used family loans. I borrowed money from my folks. I used all of my inheritance, literally put multiple hundreds, thousands of dollars into this acquisition. And the closing date was August 1st, 2008. And as you can imagine, a month later, all hell broke loose. And so just like with yourself, with the tech bubble, we had the financial crisis. My wife and I were celebrating our five-year anniversary in Greece. And guess what? AIG goes bankrupt. Washington Mutual goes bankrupt. The Lehman Brothers, you know, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And it was an incredibly stressful time. There was a number of lessons that I learned in the process, just in terms of the documentation and setting things up. And I made some big mistakes. And there was a time where I thought the whole entire purchase was going to collapse and I would walk away with nothing and lose hundreds of thousands of dollars and owe my folks and my cousins hundreds of thousands of dollars and never be able to pay it back. But I negotiated, I persevered, made it through there. And it was right around the time the stock market started to turn. And frankly, it took a couple of years to get healed from that situation. But we made it. We grinded it out. And, you know, I've heard it say that by an angel investor wrote a check for a venture capital guy. And it was $1 million check. And the guy failed with that business. He said, you know, I'm going to write him another check because now he's learned all of the lessons and been to the school of hard knocks. So I feel like that guy a little bit where I've been working my tail off and I'm ready for another $1 million investment. So even though I made mistakes with that acquisition, I would do it all over again.
Wow. Good for you in having the fortitude, you know, and again, the maturity to be able to say it, you know, that way. So in looking back on all of that, what would you say is maybe the biggest lesson, the biggest nugget that you learned and you can kind of keep and with you, you know, moving forward? What would you say is the biggest lesson, Dave?
The biggest problem, Stephen, with what we did with the acquisition was there was no exit strategy for what if things go wrong. Everything was with rose-colored glasses on. Which is great. It's good to be optimistic and be hopeful. You know, before the acquisition, it was the most exciting time period of my life. I was so stoked. I was so happy flying across the country, going to be writing all of these books and doing book tours. But those rose-colored glasses really, which normally I'm such an analytical, it really took away that side of me. So in the future, I would make sure that if things go wrong, here's what would happen. So we have it lined out. So that way my capital would be protected in the future. You know,
see, I mean, that is such a powerful lesson, what you just said there. But let me make sure that I'm actually learning it correctly and that I didn't misunderstand. Okay. So the rose colored glasses, normally you're super analytical and you're going to kind of develop a plan B, plan C, plan D, sort of kind of the what if scenario, but you didn't do that in this case. Am I tracking with you?
You got it, Stephen.
Okay. Absolutely. So would it be fair to say that the deal was like so exciting and so forth that it caused you to not be who you normally would, or you kind of set aside your normal tendencies? Would that be fair?
That's totally fair.
Okay. So this is such a great, great lesson for Onward Nation, that because it is so easy to sort of get caught up in the what ifs that we don't, like on the positive side in the rose glasses, that we forget to be ourselves and follow the process, Onward Nation. So Dave is giving you this great, great lesson here that obviously cost him a lot of time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and money. And then he really had to dig himself out of it and amen that he was able to, but follow this recipe that he just gave you, because that could really keep you out of maybe a potential failure and not have to go through that process. But thankfully, Dave was able to dig out of it. So would that be a good kind of recap, Dave?
I think that's a great recap, Stephen. You got it perfectly, my friend.
Okay. Well, great story. And thank you for being so transparent to share that type of story, because in doing that, that's great, great mentorship that you just offered to Onward Nation. Super, super valuable. So thank you for that. So let's talk about critical skills. So what do you think is the most critical skill that business owners need to master in order to thrive today?
You know, Stephen, I had to think a lot about this question, because obviously I listen to a few of these episodes. I know that it's coming. And I think for me, knowing what I know today, obviously building a platform is a big deal. And we can get caught up in it, but I do think it's something that we have to address, because at the end of the day, if you don't have sales, you don't have a business. And so I've been blessed to be in an opportunity where I can put money into this kind of thing because I have an existing business. In some ways, I have two businesses going on. One is my platform building, the other being my day job. So for me, I think the biggest skills that business owners need to get a handle on today in this world is automation. In this world today, as there is this whole robo-advisor movement. And those guys are obviously doing a great job with technology and automating processes. Just for example, something that I know you're familiar with, I had used to subscribe to a Weber to build a list, but over the last 6 months, I bumped up to doing Infusionsoft because you can do all of these cool things, like which for me, that's what it's all about, is a relationship with people.
And wow, very, very smart in moving from Aweber up to Infusionsoft. And I love Aweber. It's a great, great tool. But Onward Nation, Dave was wanting to do something more sophisticated, develop deeper relationships and so forth. And so from that, you need to migrate then to a tool that is going to allow you to do that so that you can take your business deeper and grow and expand. Really, really smart making that transition. Kudos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. So let's go back to the mentorship topic. I'm really excited how you gave us that great story and then that awesome lesson, and then that tied into mentorship, as I mentioned, that was so valuable. So now, kind of turning the tables on you, tell us about the most influential lesson that you ever learned from one of your mentors and how that lesson helped you become the business owner you are today.
You know, Stephen, I've been blessed in getting to know so many different people in this industry and outside the industry. But one of the most influential people for me was when I first started in the business as an intern. Her name is Vivian Strickler in Seattle. Vivian, if you're listening, you're still my hero. Vivian is someone that she has a great practice. She started out as a teacher and became a advisor. And she has this whole philosophy of slow and steady wins the race. She has turtles all over her office, glass turtles and and paper turtles and every kind of turtle you can think of. And you know, from Vivian, one of the best lessons I picked up was three words, Stephen: buy your building. And this is something that as business owners, that I think all of us, including myself, I haven't done it yet. We throw away money often in rent. And I'll tell you, some of the most financially successful business owners I see built up literally millions of dollars of equity because they own the building that they are in. And they can rent it out. Like Vivian, as an example, she has a triplex in Seattle. She rents out the top two floors and uses the bottom floor. So she's cash flowing on a property that she would be renting otherwise. So, and she owns it outright with no debt. So for me, that's one of the things I am working towards, is buying the building that we have our practice in, because I want to be able to pay myself rent rather than pay someone else rent.
Great principle. Now I've got competing titles here, Dave. See, but you know, all joking aside here, buy your building. Such a great, great fundamental financial strategy. And you just took that, you peel back a couple of the layers as to why business owners listening right now should be doing that. So that is perfect. Great, great job. Awesome. So let's go to systems. And so let's kind of rewind a little bit. What sort of triggered that was with the Aweber Infusionsoft. Love that. And maybe there's another systems lesson that you can share with us. So If there was a magic reset button in your business, what systems, Dave, would you go back and put into place sooner rather than later, and why?
Yeah, you know, Stephen, for me, I started out in this industry. If you can imagine, after my internship with Vivian, I started with Ed Jones, and I went door knocking, door to door to door. And I knocked on something like 2,000 doors by the time everything was said and done, many of them multiple times. And so I figured out very quickly that cold calling was not the way for me. So you have to know your strengths. You have to know who you are. There's people out there that do an awesome job of cold calling. They have skin that is thicker than iron, and they can handle that kind of tough love and rejection in order to get to where they want to get to. But for me, I've found my skills are in content creation. I love writing. I love podcasting. All of that system building stuff is so fun to me. So I wish when I first started the acquisition that I would have had a podcast sooner. I wish that I would have gotten a hold of social media sooner. One tool that I'm using that's not in the five tools that I mentioned is Edgar, Meet Edgar. Mm-hmm. It's a great way for $50 a month. You can automate Facebook advertising. So I wish I had gotten on all of this stuff sooner. But hey, we are where we are now and move on forward from there.
So of course, I'm biased about podcasting because obviously we're talking through a podcast right now. But as it relates to the podcast, why do you like, what is it about the podcast that you wish that you would have done that sooner? So why are you so bullish on podcasting?
Yeah, great question, Stephen. Well, I think number one, where the future is headed, in my opinion, for podcasting, it's kind of like I was just seeing a client in Seattle and they were just retired and we were celebrating and they had gotten a brand new truck they had paid for in cash and we sit in their truck and there's no CD player. But what do they have is a Bluetooth connection. And that Bluetooth connection helps to sync up to your iPad or your cell phone. And people are consuming more and more content this way in a sense of having their own radio stations. And so to be on someone's radio station, if you will, via a podcast, whether it's via Google Now or iTunes or they go to my website, I can travel with them wherever they go. And it's just a wonderful way to serve people, wonderful way to reach out to people that otherwise I would never have had a chance to get to.
That's so perfect. And so you and Gary Vaynerchuk feel exactly the same way. You guys have this same philosophy. And when I interviewed him a couple of years ago, he said to me, Stephen, we should all be our own media channels. And, mm-hmm. and if we're not, if Onward Nation, if we're not doing what Dave has suggested here and essentially thinking of your business as owning its own radio station and really being proactive about delivering content to where your audience physically is, and in this case, you know, Dave is using that truck example, then there's a real significant missed opportunity. So you need to think of your business as its own media channel. Because the distribution, the content creation, I mean, it's all tools, it's all systems, and it's all anything that any business owner can do. So that's awesome, Dave. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears now and talk about strategy. And I know this is kind of tough because I'm going to be asking you to distill it down into one. But if you could give us just one strategy that if business owners and their teams could consistently apply every day, do you think would compound into big wins for them?
Yeah. Well, you know, Stephen, one of the things that one of the mentors I follow, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Dan Kennedy, he really believes in multiple media. And so one of the things I've loved about moving up to Infusionsoft is how I can integrate multiple media. So now in my sequences, not only do I have the online marketing, which is great and wonderful and fantastic as a great way to drive ROI and get people to know me and like me and trust me, I'm now doing...
Love that. That's so perfect. And because then that also feeds back into, you know, our conversation just a couple of minutes ago about systems. And so what I'm really getting from you here, Dave, is that it doesn't happen by luck. Lead gen isn't accidental. And in that, and then this progression of how you progression is the right word. This process that you're using then to develop those relationships, nurture those relationships over time. Love how you mention know, like, and trust. That makes me think that you've probably studied John Jantz's book of Duct Tape Marketing, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so Onward Nation, Dave is doing an excellent job of really mapping sort of that customer lifecycle process out. So that's masterful. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Steven.
So let me ask you now to fast forward 1 year and look back on the hiring decisions you may be considering making now. And imagine the people you hire today exceeded your highest expectations, whatever those might be. So what strategy did they consistently apply that deliver the most value to your business?
You know, Steven, I think for me, having worked with in a small business and being in a really close, intimate setting with just 7-8 people a lot of the time, the best employees are these people that they have this hunger and drive. They often will get something done before you even ask it. So someone that's a self-starter for me is a big deal. And it's hard to know that until you've hired someone. So that's one of my big criteria that I'm using to try and find great team players of someone that's going to get stuff done and you don't have to micromanage everything.
Boy, amen to that. Absolutely. My team knows that my favorite word in the English language is proactive.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, Dave, this has been an awesome conversation. Here's my last question, though, for you. So imagine you're standing in front of a room of brand new business owners, people just like you when you were starting out. So they're battling their way through the fears and the worries and the doubts and struggles to try and find their footing. So what would be 2 or 3 strategies you would recommend that they focus on to best ensure success?
Well, you know, Steven, I think I'm maybe talking to myself as well as everyone else. I'm naturally someone that's fairly introverted. I'm someone that is a book nerd. I love that kind of stuff. And one of the challenges I would put out to many of us that create content, including me, is we got to get out there and shake hands and kiss babies and really network with people better. Because I see some of the people that are doing the best are people that are doing joint ventures. And you're not going to find that by sitting at home and tapping away at the computer creating content all the time. So I think networking, being a part of great masterminds and groups, as I know you've been with, I think Darren Hardy, is a very important component. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I did, because I didn't want to have to pay for it, here in Minnesota, Lead Pages, which is another great tool, they have an annual conference. And I went there and met a few other business owners, and we formed our own mastermind. So high-level people that are marketing, doing all kinds of different stuff. So I'd encourage, I think that's the number one lesson that I'm still learning and working on, is connecting, developing relationships with other centers of influence and other business owners.
Power of the mastermind, right out of Think and Grow Rich. And he takes it, Napoleon Hill takes it even deeper, Dave, in the, have you also read Napoleon's The Law of Success?
No, I have not.
It is. Okay, so if you love Think and Grow Rich, which obviously you did, and you mentioned kind of being sort of a book nerd and that kind of stuff, you got to study the Law of Success. And because it's like almost like an unabridged version of Think and Grow Rich. It was actually published in 1928, and it is the first form. Actually, I should say the second form. So in 1925, he published the original manuscripts, like the original notes of Napoleon Hill, came out, and it's a very rare copy, but I have it here on my bookshelf. And so that came out in 1925, and then they kind of refined it a little bit further into 612 pages into The Law of Success, which came out in 1928. But, you know, the American public was not ready for it, right? And so they had to essentially, like, put it on the shelf, and after the Depression, they re-released it then as Think and Grow Rich in a much thinner volume, and then they sold 70 million copies.
Wow. Isn't that something? Man, that's a lot of distilling they had to do in that puppy, huh?
Uh-huh. Indeed. Dave, this has been a really, really amazing conversation. I'm grateful for your time. So, but before we close out, before we say goodbye, is there any final advice that you want to share? Anything you think we might have missed, and then tell us the best way to connect with you, my friend.
Yeah, Stephen. Well, again, I just such an honor, a privilege to be here with you. I would like to mention a few things. Number one, this podcast has just been so fun and listening to different people. So I'd like to encourage everyone, and Stephen didn't ask me to do this, but I'd like to encourage everyone that's listening. If you're getting some value out of this podcast, make sure to review it for Stephen. That'll help him out on iTunes or elsewhere, because that just helps to spread the word and his content. Fellow content creator, it really helps us when we can get good words of encouragement. So first of all, I'd just like to mention that, to have everyone do that. Secondly, one of the things that I am working on with my journey and making the acquisition we were talking about earlier, I've been working on writing a book for small business owners. And I'd love to collaborate with other people that have a heart for small business owners. So if people are interested, they can definitely reach me, Dave at daviddeniston.com. You can also check out my podcast website, drfreedompodcast.com.
Okay, Onward Nation, this has been phenomenal. And Dave really brought the education, the step-by-step, the sharing the resources and his perspectives wrapped up in deeply personal stories. And we really got a sense of who Dave is, and both from a professional and a personal perspective. Great mentorship, Dave. But the caution that I want to give to Onward Nation here is that no matter how many notes you took, or how often you go back and listen to Dave's words of wisdom, and I sure hope that you do, the key is you have to be proactive, using that favorite word. You have to be proactive and put this knowledge that he generously, transparently shared with you. You have to put that into practice inside your business, Onward Nation, to accelerate your results. And Dave, we all have the same 86,400 seconds in a day, my friend. And I am so honored. I know that you said that you're honored to be here, but I'm honored that you accepted the invitation to be here and that you came onto the show in full transparency to be our mentor, to be our guide, to be our advisor. And I just really, really appreciate that, so that we could all move our businesses onward. Thank you so much, my friend.
Oh, Stephen, I'm honored that you're honored that I'm honored that you're honored.
Fair enough. We could both be honored.
So my friends, there you go. The interview with Stephen Westner. I hope that you loved it. It was so fun for me to connect with him, and I would love to know your thoughts, your opinions. What did you gain out of the interview today? For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Make sure to work on cutting your debt and taxes so you too can live a liberated lifestyle. Make sure to visit the podcast website for all the show notes, all of the information at www.drfreedompodcast.com. Again, www.drfreedompodcast.com. FreedomPodcast.com, and make sure to subscribe on iTunes, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Have a good one.